And welcome back to Richmond Tiger Talk. My name's Nick.
And I'm Andy. And Nick, I have a question for you. You know how moments, they wax, what seems significant at the time can sometimes grow, and sometimes things that seem really meaningful at the time turn out to be, you know, far less important. I don't know, Dean Pollard's first game, for instance.
Stuart Edwards.
Speaking of Stuart, Dusty stiff-arming Stuart to break down the wing in 17. To me, that moment has only good grown. Times. I remember the moment. I remember the standing up as it happened and the breakdown the wing, and had already lost my mind by the time Jack was kicking the ball and I didn't even know Prestia was there. But just, I think, the further we get away from the moment, the more that becomes almost the moment.
Well, I think the same applies to Dusty's goal at the end of the 2020 Grand Final, which is possibly his least important goal from that game, and yet that's the one you see in the highlights all the time.
Yeah, I mean, that was a punctuation point, but I think the
and a moment of sheer brilliance.
Yeah, I was just reflecting on the. So we, I tweeted something about Tom Stewart, who's obviously heel number one, but with a picture of the Dusty breaking away from him in that moment, and it's already had 23,000 views, if you believe that Twitter tracker. It's just something iconic about it. And I just can't think of that moment and the excitement of that close game and then finally this break. And this, you know, people break away from half time back all the time in football games, and it often doesn't lead to anything. But because of the outcome, because it was Dusty, because of the context, it's just special.
Yeah. Oh, definitely so. And it's made more special by how meaningful both in that game, but also as sort of signalling the arrival of a new era. So yeah, it's pretty great. And I do very much respect that. Even after a pretty solid win on the weekend, that your first instincts on a weekend before we're playing Geelong is to think through some of the truly magical moments.
Yeah, I thought that was set up for you to make a transition to special, but slightly less special, but still special is. Winning a game at the G on a Saturday afternoon, which should always be home game. Okay, that
close to our hearts. Yeah, yep.
One of the bottom two teams in the AFL. We were pretty strong favourites.
Yeah, they were bad. Yeah, they were bad.
And we kind of exactly the game went exactly to the point spread margin, but it was still a win. And I was just watching the replay. We were slightly delayed recording because I was enjoying watching. I lost track of time because I was enjoying watching the replay so much for reasons we're about to discuss. You'd be shocked to know I was replaying the ruck contest a lot.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But look, macro story of the game. By the second quarter, the first quarter was... even and frustrating. We were not taking advantage. We're not taking advantage of our opportunity. Stop me if you've heard this before, Nick. Second quarter, we had both the second and third quarters. We had plus 10, more than plus 10 on the inside 50s in each quarter individually. That's pretty dominant. Again, in the second, repeat the first, but in the third, we finally broke it in about the last 5 minutes, and we can talk a bit about why. But and then it was just a pressure thing. But it was a much better team beating a bad team, which is what good teams need to do. Hopefully, we'll be a good team this year, or at least, well, we certainly know. We now know the flaw.
Yeah. Look, we still, Speaking of floor, we certainly have them still. I think, you know, the forward line functioned better in the second half, but it's still, there's, you still feel the gaping hole of Tom Lynch's absence.
Incompetent small forward play.
Incompetent small forward, though. Although I thought, look, between Prestia and Bolton, you know, we were served pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, you'd almost call them high half forward mids, wouldn't you? But whatever. Anyway, I do agree. I mean, the Bolton was best on ground, so.
Oh, he did. He was the best player on the ground, and he was the best at whatever he wanted to be on the ground, whether it was midfield or forward. He was stunning. Yeah. Was a fantastic effort.
So, Nick, almost the turning point moment of the game for me was the Sampson Ryan left-handed tap to Bolton, which he snapped for a goal.
Lovely.
Sampson Ryan had already put his finger up to celebrate before Bolton had even started winding up to kick.
Nice.
That's how much faith they have in him. On the yeah. Snap, no one was doing. I was actually really sorry. Go.
Dusty put a block on for that snap, and I put it to you that I don't think Dusty blocks people that he doesn't deeply respect.
Just quietly, Graham almost gave away a free, falling in the back, and someone in doing a similar thing. Dusty's pressure work. The stats weren't as high this week, but he just works so much harder on the defensive side of the game than he ever has before. He's really aging with them. I mean, it was lovely to see him kick the goal, and it was great for the fans. You know, I knew people with kids there, and it's just like a Dustin Martin goal is special, and it's part of history. But he really is aging with dignity, and he came into the centre square more, and he has this week and last week, and I think it has improved. Our centre square work, because he has the ability to get the decisive clearance.
Yeah, it's been interesting. He's been pretty close to lethal as in that high half forward role, just sort of cruising the ground. He hasn't really had many of those trademark Dusty one-on-ones in deep forward 50. I think we've had trouble isolating him one out. But yeah, he's been winning a lot more of his football slightly further up the ground. And yeah, I mean, he's top 10 in the AFL for inside 50. So he's clearly been productive. But yeah, he's had a good couple of weeks.
I would describe him more as productive than lethal. It hasn't all been working for him, but I admire how hard he, like, what's fun as a champion when they get older is that they adapt to their game. And like, it's too early to roll out the mission accomplished banner, but I do admire how he's going about it. Like, he's not, he's sort of, this year is different Dusty, but it's definitely a Dusty he's locked in and trying very hard, and you know, that's all you want.
Yeah, and he's still very productive, and you know, like that when it was Duggan ran almost straight off the bench and slammed into him, and he rode the tackle and got the handball off anyway. Yeah, he's going all right.
Yeah, I think we've got go on.
Yeah. Speaking of small forwards, Judson Clark had a somewhat frustrating game, but yeah, I do. He had about three or four moments where I was like, oh, yeah, you can see the talent. I mean, the goal was a very nice bit of front and centre, but there was at least one good tap on, He measured the fastest running speed of anyone on the ground, and I thought he was covering the turf pretty well. But yeah, still a little bit of a work in progress there.
He had a real purple patch in the third, where I noticed he was in sort of four or five really important plays, and he's well, through the numbers aren't off the charts. His pressure work is sometimes good.
Yeah, seven disposals. It was quieter than I thought. I thought it was a better game than that.
Yeah, it does feel like that because he's often high impact. But he's actually considering what we've got at small forward, we've got to persevere with him, I think. And Dim has been pretty good at playing him actually. He's got X factor that this team desperately needs. He hasn't put it together yet, but. You know, he's averaging when on the games he hasn't been subbed, he's kicked a goal. I think it's five games he hasn't been subbed, and he's kicked a goal in every one of them except one.
Yeah. Well, and he looks like an MCG player. Like he's got a big. He's both quick and got a big tank, and yeah, that covering the ground's pretty important. Look, you've already mentioned him, but I think it's shown admirable restraint on your part not to have talked about him even more. But yeah, it did feel like a bit of a, despite only having had eight disposals, it did feel like a bit of a coming out game for Samson Ryan.
Yeah, well, there's a lot to unpack here. Firstly, it should be noted that the West Coast Eagles are last in the AFL on hit-out differentials and hit-out-to-advantage differentials. So, you know, it wasn't Gundy Van Gorn. And there were times when Williams was too strong for him, and Williams had a reasonable amount of taps. And look, frankly, if I never have to see Ben Miller ruck against the first ruck in a centre square bounce again, I'd be happy with that. I'll say some nice things about Ben Miller in a sec. But
both him and Ryan, the hit out to advantage stats are pretty good.
There's a real story with the two. I mean, Waterman's just a complete spider as a ruck, that both of them could dominate him. But Samson just week by week, he does things that are special. I've already mentioned the tap, but actually we kicked a goal. The next goal of the game from another tap that Samson tap out to Bolton I was talking about was against Waterman. Mm. Then they left Waterman in for the centre tap and Samson got another beautiful tap and that set up the inside 50, which led to another goal. There are times when he just... And sometimes he gets outbodied and sometimes he drops a mark that he just wasn't quite strong enough to get both hands to. But he keeps getting in the right spot. And he's got two things he can't teach, which he's tall and he's just a cohort. He gets it.
Yeah, he's a good athlete. Because Bailey Williams, who he's rucking against, is, you know, he's a bit older. He's 201 centimetres. He was top. Bailey Williams was top 10 in his draft year for vertical leap. Like he's no joke as a athlete. But yeah, right. We had 21 more disposals on the game, but like Ben Miller had more hit outs to advantage than Williams did, and yeah, Samson Ryan had the most hit outs to advantage of any ruckman across the competition on the weekend.
He had four
something to work with.
Oh yeah, exactly. Like, and it's one thing to be dominant, and the commentators did make a big deal about it in the second, and they were right. Actually, I was enjoying how much focus the rucks were getting, but you know that
of course
that before mentioned Bolton tap, like that was real skill and coordination. Like that was a hard, that was a reverse hand.
Didn't he have two goals to? He set up two goals to Bolton.
Yeah,
one in the second, one in the third.
Yeah, I think he did. Yeah, sorry, I just rewatched the third just then, so it's fresher in my mind. But the stuff he does that is just it's just hard and you can't teach it. And if you can only put on 5 more kilos of muscle, he could be really special.
Yeah, look, I think he's. I mean, he's clearly put on weight since he got to the club. You know, he's 206 centimeters. Of course, he's gonna be a bit awkward, but take time to grow into his body. But yeah, it was pretty impressive. I liked Ben Miller's game. As well, I thought he was trying to be more physical, perhaps, than we've seen from him before, which was nice. And yeah, did some solid work around the ground. Second on the team in pressure acts. Actually, kicked straight for goal. Although, again, not as beautifully as Samson's shot for goal. That was a tidy bit of work and unrecognisable from the goal-kicking struggles that we saw in the pre-season.
Yeah, or the season too. Yeah, look, one thing I was really pleased about is Bolton and Samson both nailed set shots in garbage time because I think that'll be really helpful for both their confidences because they both had the yips a bit before then. But yeah, I do agree with Miller.
Notwithstanding Samson being 9 goals, 2 on the season now.
Yeah, but you know he did have some. I think there's some out of bounds in there, and like
he missed a couple, but yeah, no, he's hit a few as well.
But you know, I mean. Yes, and he kicked a beautiful goal from the boundary, but yeah, he doesn't. It hasn't been inspiring confidence in front of a goal. But Bolton's set shot has been a train wreck for 2 years now, and it was lovely to see him go back and actually take the shot and kick it. I do agree with your point on Miller, and that's a note I had as well, that he just tries really hard. It was a real shame he had that terrible kick because I don't want him to lose confidence in his kicking because it's one of his strengths. But he, like, there's a bit of, like, he's been trying to be Nank, you know, just been really good on the follow-up. And, look, that's what he has to do. He has to make, because he doesn't seem to have the contested marking gene, and he's short, so he's never going to be a dominant ruck. But if he just tries really hard and keeps doing what he's doing, he'll stay in the AFL.
Yeah, and being useful in a number of roles. I think obviously, if you can't be outstanding in any one position, just being useful is a pretty valuable skill. So yeah, no, they did well. I thought Liam Baker played really well again. I think he's leading the best and fairest comfortably.
And he makes his teammates look good sometimes. He could make the crappiest hand pass to him look good because he has such beautiful hands below his knees. Nick, do you know who's a beautiful hand passer? Sorry, go. In traffic?
Yeah, Bolton's pretty... Bolton's pretty good.
Sorry? Bolton.
Bolton's pretty good.
Bolton? Yeah. Bolton's good if it's a light traffic situation, like that, you know, that forward half hand pass to Hopper, for instance, was just magic. But, you know, he doesn't have the centre square strength always to get through. But when the traffic's heaviest, I reckon the best hand passer in the team right now is Hopper. He consistently makes really nice decisions in traffic.
Yeah, that's true. He does have good hands. I quite like Jack Ross's hands as well, but he's more outside. But yeah, Hopper. Hopper was good. Was in the coaches' votes. Taranto equal second best on ground. Very good. He's, you know, continues being an absolute stats pig, you know, 20 contested disposals, centre clearances, 5 centre clearances. You know, he's just working really hard. 10 clearances as a whole. Like, he just, yeah, his kicking lets him down sometimes, but it is an incredible work rate. He's top 10 in the AFL in centre clearances, handballs, contested possessions and tackles. All top 10 in the AFL.
Well done for avoiding the temptation to pile in on Jake Corns, because I think we've already done it on Twitter, and I think by the time Daisy, hang on, which ones? I always get the Daisy Thomas, the ex-Collingwood player, not the former AWFL. But by the time Tony Shaw are kicking you, it's probably been done now as a public point. But it did get me thinking, because you know. Ratings of players is something I take seriously, and it's something, you know, I always look at the other team who's doing well on the AFL ratings as who's a prime mover. But, and I respect Sarah Black and Robbo for putting their top 50 lists and top 30 lists, because everyone who criticises it, they could never do a better list if they put a list out themselves, and all Australian selectors too. I generally think they do. But, like, I mean, they're pretty basic measures, but by both the basic AFL fantasy stat measure, which we never quote because it's rubbish stat, but the Supercoach measure, that's pretty close to the champion data ranking. Like, Taranto's top 5 in one and top 10 in another. Like you know, I mean, surely anyone with a basic sort of understanding of, like, you know, it's just ludicrous to say, look, he's not as good at the ratings. Much discussed. I actually have a theory on that if you're interested, Nick, but can I repeat the shot cock theory I mentioned to you on Twitter?
Sure.
Well, I've started now. So anyway, there's a thing in NBA where some players, they get the crap opportunities at the end of the shot clock when it's, you're going to take a bad shot, but a shot has to be taken.
Yeah.
And the players, so
somebody
players,
has to do it. Yeah.
So, and it's often, yeah, it's a certain kind of player who gets it, and it sort of, it reduces their efficiency on some measures, because it's often a bad shot, but they have to take it. I think sometimes Taranto gets really scrappy clearances that result in turnovers, but they weren't the planned clearances. They were the ones where there's been a shark tap or something like that, and he's not, his instinct when he gets the footy is he just boots it, and means the other team doesn't win a clearance, and when you've been, so it's not all bad, means it often results in a halfback turnover, which the AFL ratings hate. But you have to decide, like, it's both good and bad. It's not, it's just the way he plays, and it happens, but it has also reduced a negative, even though it looks really bad on his rating. So it's not all good, it's not all bad, but it definitely, that really punishes your rating. So it's not all the story, but it's just a small part of the story. I think that with Tarant, the nuance of the story, but as you say, he's not the world's greatest kick anyway. That kick to Baker where he managed to put it out of bounds was, you know, had he had a bad game overall, that would be the one that would get played on the footy shows. But no, he's really productive. But it's a nuanced argument. But, like, okay, it's obvious change. Corns has been an idiot, but, like, it's just, it's so obvious he's pretty good. Like he's, like, yeah. I said, he's totally, there's just so many measures he's very highly in, and, you know, he probably shouldn't win the Brownlow, but yeah, and he's, I think you pointed out, he's top 20 in the coaches votes.
Yeah, and he's going to finish top 5 in our BNF. I'm absolutely convinced.
Yeah. So anyway,
about that.
Anyway, yeah. Unnecessary trashing of Corns, but, you know, I feel like it has to be addressed.
Satisfying nonetheless.
All right, anyone else?
Dion Prestia, small forward.
Look, I was sort of, it was almost Ken Lambertish, I thought, at times. Get you.
He had the work rate to look, and the game was opening up, which didn't hurt. But he had the work rate to get open in space in forward 50, which I think we've been struggling to do. So, look, it was unusual, and I don't think you'd want to rely on it every week, but it was fun.
He does kind of, like, it hasn't been his role in the team, but he does kind of have the goal-kicking gene.
Yeah, that's true.
So, look, like, it's hope, right? Because we've just so struggled to kick goals, and, he looked really good taking all those shots.
Totally.
And for whatever in the midfield, just we've, you know, getting Dusty back in there, a different mix just seemed to work really well for us. Now, what did you think of Hugo's game?
I thought it was fine. I thought his athleticism flashed. His kicking maybe let himself down a bit, but I've said it before, I just like having him in the team.
Yeah, so do I. Like, I think him and Judson are in the same category. They've got upside elite athleticism and a team that's getting a bit long in the tooth. And we've got to keep playing them, I think. You know, don't have to play every week, but they should play 15 games this year.
No, and I wonder if we'll go Tyler Young back in the team for a bit more marking power against, you know, the competition's number one inside 50 marking team this week. So, yeah.
By the way, Dimmer confirmed that Presti has been playing injured, as speculated by many, including on this podcast.
Yep. No, makes sense. I thought Noel Bolter had a quite interesting game. Like, he's, Oscar Allen kicked 4 goals, but I think only one of them directly opposed to Noah. I mean, he had the odd catastrophic mistake, unfortunately. But yeah, he's a bit frustrating, but God, he's talented.
Yeah, you kind of like it. Maybe at one stage he is what he is, but he's still young enough that you hope that a sort of an extra light will go on and he turns into Alex Rance. But
because he's not a super instinctive footballer, but God, he's certainly talented. I thought Jack battled manfully in trying conditions and with often disappointing delivery, but wasn't his best game.
Yeah, I must admit there were one or two moments. The first time I've noticed that the leap is not quite there anymore. There was a moment in the fourth where Jack 2 years ago would have taken the mark, and he just lacked half an inch. But I think battle manfully is a good summary of it, and he's doing his best. But yeah, you can see why he was so keen to get Tom Lynch on the team. It's just crap. Like, him having to take that much beating, and that's
load. Yeah,
that's part of why we put Marlon forward a bit, and Marlon's doing his best to take mark of the year, but he's just not holding on to them. You know, keep trying.
Well, he certainly had a better day than Noah Cumberland, who I think his only touch in the third quarter was when a ball bounced off his face.
And then shortly got subbed after, which, you know, has to be like, so whatever's going on in his head, it's not working. But hopefully he can go back to the VFL and get the footy and, like, just play him forward, let him kick goals, let him kick shots for goal again, because he's got the yips as well. Not that he had the chance to really demonstrate it, but, it's pretty sad at the moment.
Yeah, it is. Look, the maybe the only other player, I mentioned Ross before, but the other one I wanted to mention was, yeah, Blossy was very good.
He's actually been in pretty good.
Not too many. You go.
Oh no, he's been in pretty good form. He had, he had 9 intercepts. Baker had 10, but aside from some, like he had some very high profile errors recently, but overall his form has been much better the last, I think, last three block of 3 weeks. He's been back to his more like his solid best.
That was it for me.
Yeah, look, I'm not going to lie. I really, like, okay, yes, winning is obviously more fun than losing, but...
more fun, like, yeah.
And I was really barracking for us really hard to score 100 points, which we did. still, we were still under on our expected shots, but so were the Eagles, so the result was about right. But, yeah, it was just nice to... It was just nice for the fans and everyone to have a win in the G. So we haven't won in Melbourne this year thus far. So, it was cheering and it just gave me a bit of love for football game and gave me hope for the Geelong game.
That's true. Look, before we got to Geelong, I wanted to mention a couple of things. So the VFL had a bye this weekend, but they had a sort of a VFL Young Guns, which is sort of 19, 20, 21-year-old mid-season draft prospects versus this year's Vic Metro team, who'll be in the national draft at the end of the year. And look at it. Our VFL team's been on a bit of a tear in the last few years. Just, you know, players coming through. Sadly, several of them playing for Essendon in Massimo D'Ambrosio, Sam Durden, Garrett Madonna also got drafted there. We've picked up... Tyler Young, which has been encouraging, and we had four of the VFL young guns in the team this week. The probably most notably for Richmond supporters, Tom Bauer, who's the son of Nathan. Unfortunately, not eligible for father son, and probably not a draftable prospect at this stage either. But he was in the team, but also in the team, we mentioned him briefly before. But Bo Tedcastle, who's a 19-year-old key forward, small forward from Northern Territory, kicked 3 goals, and yeah. Look, he probably still needs to work on the defensive side of his game, but if you're looking towards the mid-season draft, we've certainly got at least one pick with Jason Castagna, but maybe another one as well with Marte Kalina seemingly long-term injured, although maybe he's a category bookie. Can he be rookie? So maybe not. But, yeah, certainly at least one rookie pick and a glaring need at small forward.
There aren't any 199-centimetre key forwards with AFL athleticism playing in the VFL, are there?
Well, actually, we did have a 199-centimetre key forward in Archie May, who played for the Young Guns and looked all right, although his kicking let him down. He's funny because he's played more VFL games this year than he did NAB League games last year, but he's clearly worked really hard in pre-season and improved, come a bit from nowhere, which has been nice to see. I don't think he's quite draftable yet, but
not quite Tom Lynch replacement level.
Not quite. Look, he's of similar size, but that's about where the resemblance ends at the stage.
Yeah, and I'm a similar height to Jack Rimwell, but doesn't mean I can play Key Ford.
No. Look, the wanted to mention on the injury front, Josh Kipkus, very pleasingly, is going to be playing some VFL this weekend, which is really nice. And both Toby Nankervis and Morris Rioli not too far away, and Ivan Soldo a test. So, yeah, some positive injury news.
Yeah, I've been bandwagoning about Soldo's injury, particularly after what happened to Lynch. I'm very well. Actually, the whole Richmond future generations of medical students will study this year's Richmond injury list because it's a collection of weird and wonderful and nasty sounding injuries all across the age range.
There's been a lot of that. Tom Brown not far away as well, actually.
That'll be like he'll lack touch, obviously, but. Like, there's a chance he might get on really quickly because he's been running because it's a wrist injury.
Yeah. Yeah, so hopefully. And fitness was something, he's got a lot of athleticism, but, yeah, fitness was something he needed to improve. Look, the other thing I wanted to mention, Andy, the 200th game for Dion Prestia. This week, which is it was not very long ago that he played his 100th game for Richmond, but yeah, it's a big achievement for a guy who's had his injury troubles.
Yeah, it is, and look, all time. Best trade for him to come across and straight away playing three out of four premierships. So turned out pretty well for him. He's probably happy with got to play with his best mate Josh Caddy. It's lovely to see him playing well again. And it was funny how we started with it wasn't intentional, but that dusty moment was ended with Prestia running into that goal.
That's true.
I distinctly remember it sounding like a bomb went off when it did. Maybe if he was playing on a less crap team, he could have won a Brownlow in his prime and with the Suns. Certainly, he would have got more recognition. Had he not been playing so far off Broadway, but he's just been superb when it counted for us.
Yeah, it's been pretty. You look at the two halves of his career. You know, drafted top 10 draft pick for the Suns
in a very loaded draft.
A very loaded draft, Caddy and Lynch were all first round draft picks for the Suns that year. He's at the Suns for 5 years and wins 26 games across those 5 years for winning percentage under 30%, swaps to Richmond, has won 2/3 of his games ever since, 10-3 record in finals, 3 premierships. Yeah, good move, Dion.
Yeah, seems to have been a win-win for everyone. Remind us, Nick, what did the draft pick turn into?
It was a first and a second for Dion and a second. I think it was Jack Scrimshaw who is a middling halfback flanker for the third worst team in the league. So, yeah.
Mm. Did you mention he's best and fairest, by the way?
No, but I should have. And look there.
Yeah, like
the goals in enormous goals in enormous finals. The sheer work ethic across the season. Seasons. best and fairest is consistently polled well in the best and fairest, you know, top 10 in his first year, which honestly we thought was a bit disappointing to start with, honestly. He won it in 2019. Had some injuries in 2020, but we're still, you know, played really well in the finals series. Look, it's like his injuries. Like I thought last year was maybe his best season, but continually hampered by injuries. And yeah, it's been a real effort of perseverance given those injuries. You know, just even to make it to 200 games, which not a lot of players do. So, yeah, we are lucky to have him.
Indeed. And, you know, so proving the old adage that timing is so important in life, that his injuries have been very well timed to not be in key moments and finals. So yep. He's always played when it mattered. Beloved by all Richmond. I think his approval rating's, like, you know, it's hard to win three premierships and not have high approval rating. But he's universally beloved by Richmond supporters. Right, Geelong.
Yeah. So we average a very similar amount of inside 50s. We average a pretty similar number of behinds. And that's perhaps where all the similarities between how our respective forward lines are functioning ends. Like, actually looking at Geelong and how efficiently and effectively they've been scoring, at how I'm genuinely jealous. Like, the people, you know, say there's a fair bit to it about how Richmond were in a vulnerable position, having to rely on older players, and yet you look at Tom Hawkins is older than any of our players, and there's almost no sign of drop off at all at an age where key forwards, even the very best key forwards, start to hit the wall.
I'm really not looking forward to him boundary racking against Sampson and Miller.
Yeah, no, not much fun at all.
If you offer me over under on if he only kicks one goal out of the ruck or sets one up, I'd take that right now.
Jeremy Cameron next to him. Maybe is he the best forward in the competition? He's pretty close to it. Isaac Smith's another 34-year-old. Like, they do have a few of their older guys injured as well. But yeah, Isaac Smith's 34 and seemingly playing as well as ever. Blitz Harves is like a super idealized version of Ben Miller in terms of being versatile, but also really good, which is kind of frustrating. And yeah, Max Holmes is a young midfielder. Looks pretty good as well.
Yeah, so, sadly, Max Holmes is having a cracking season.
He's look, and hats off to the when Geelong drafted him, he played 2 games in 2 years of APS footy. Like, it was took a big risk, and yeah, it's paid off annoyingly so. So the Cats lost their first 3 games of the year. And there was a bit of poor goal kicking in there, but yeah, they were a bit disjointed to start the season. But yeah, it really does really feel like they're settling into their work nicely.
On the upside, 33-year-old Patrick Dangerfield was having a cracking season, annoyingly so, and he has finally shown some old man signs. He actually said it himself, but done a hammy, so he'll be missing. And they've got a few others out, so like I can't help but feeling we're slightly in the game. We're big underdogs, like disturbingly so. So you know, tend to maybe batter their knowledge. But am I wrong, Nick, to think we're right up in this game?
The betting line has come in from about 26 points to about 20 points,
as I predicted.
As you predicted, yes. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I feel like parts of our game are pretty well up and going, but still, it could be a really long night at the office if we're kicking it to Tom Stewart all night. Even someone like Colin Jasny's playing pretty well. Randa Kaloa down back. I don't feel like we're particularly we've got that many marking targets, and the Cats have been pretty strong defensively, so that are we going to be able to generate enough time and space to kick a winning score? Because I feel, it's not realistic to expect to hold them to a low score when, literally the top scoring team in the competition. So, yeah, look, they're certainly more vulnerable. I mean, given some of the players we've got out, but yeah. There's a chance.
There's a chance. For what it's worth, Nick, I expect Geelong have a slightly below average ruck division, so we've got a chance in the centre square and round the ground. Tom Hawkins aside in the deep 50, but yeah, look, it's just if we get a good game for the mids, it's just like this is oversimplifying, but. It's just like if the forward line's anemic again, we've got no shot. But, there's a chance. We've seen it. Dusty is circling form. Bolton's form on the weekend, and I know it's against the West Coast Eagles, but that kind of we get the forward line starts at least having a bit of cut through. There's a chance. Maybe it's just too much residual optimism from the golden years, but I've got a bit of hope.
Yeah. Look, it does. A stat I completely stuffed up a while ago for Dimmer's 300th game, but his winning percentage against Geelong is the worst it is against any team, notwithstanding 3-0 in the finals. Fascinatingly, I bet you can't guess who the team he has the second worst record
against. Is it North Melbourne?
Yeah, good guess.
He has a terrible record against the Scott brothers.
Except in finals.
Except in finals. Well, one Scott brother in finals. Yeah, look, and I think it does behove us to mention, look, this is, we hate Geelong anyway for the finals rivalry, but this game's pretty hot. Like,
The Dion Prestia milestone game as well adds a little bit of spice to an already spicy game. It does, like, Tom Stewart does genuinely seem like a decent bloke. Like, he came out today saying, "Yeah, I deserve to be booed." Like, in a context where there's some pretty unpleasant, unsavoury booing going on in the AFL.
Fans. Anyway, moving on.
Yeah, they're so unlucky that it just always happens to them. he said he deserved to be booed. Yeah, and it is completely consistent that Tom Stewart is a good bloke, and then it was a completely dog act.
And he's comfortably all Australian footballer. But look, football is not rational. It's a tribal game. It's people who want it to be all rational and nice, and people just clapping. Well, they wouldn't like it as much because the crowds would be one quarter of the size. They wouldn't get all their salary to media commentary.
It's the sheer as much as we. I'm looking at several different screens full of numbers to prep for this, but it just gets you in your gut, like the passion of it, the highs, the lows.
God. It's theatre, and Tom Stewart has offended the football gods, and Richmond supporters should and will express their displeasure appropriately. And then at the end of the game. Yeah. Everyone should go home safely and realise it's just a game.
Yeah, well put. This will be a really fun win if...
Oh, my God, it'll be just so good. Oh, God, I've got goosebumps thinking about how much I'd like to break this bricks. I know someone said... a friend of ours said that if they could win one game for the rest of the year, it'd be dream time, but, like, the dream time run has to end eventually, and the Bombers aren't as...
Yeah, it's been...
And the Bombers aren't as dislikable as they've been in some years. Big call, I know, but everything's relative. But to me, this is the game. If we just beat them here.
Well, and to think of the psychology from a Geelong fan's perspective, like if they win, it does absolutely nothing to bring back those three finals. Losses, and if they lose with Dusty playing a key role, then it just brings back horrible flashbacks.
The ghosts.
Win, win, win.
Well said. I'm Andy.
We're Richmond Tigers.